Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, I'm Kendra.
And this is Jane.
And you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. For those of you that are new to the show, we are a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe your family has been led to adopt. Whatever unique journey God has you on, we want to go on that journey with you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I'm excited about today. We have a special guest.
We have an all-star guest.
I like when we have all these unique stories of how God grows the people family.
Yeah, he never works the same way twice.
He does not.
Today's guest.
Who is it?
I've known her for a while. I don't want to overhype this, but she might be one of the most kingdom-minded, precious women I have ever met. And I'm
stay humble over there. No, I'm just playing.
That's why she's so kingdom-minded, because she stays humble. But Emily Brooks, I met you in college.
What?
Yeah, we went to the same university. Yes.
I know that.
Yes.
Okay. We're in the same orientation group.
We were.
With my husband.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is so wild.
Wow. The three of us.
Mm-hmm. And we had, I think, a class together, a speech class one time. And I still remember part of what you're talking about today was one of the speeches that you gave.
Wow.
So funny how God brings everything around.
Goodness.
But yes, I worked with her husband, Austin, at American Family Studios. He is now the director of a department here at AFA. Woot woot. And I miss my team. But since having Aliana and transitioning into a new role, I'm happy to get to work from home and come and do Hannah's Heart once a week. So Emily and I met in college, but
How many years ago was that? No, I'm just playing.
You don't
I'm
even
kidding. Y'all
know.
Still look
good. 16 years ago?
15 years ago.
Stop.
This
summer.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
We still look good. We're aging
who needs
gracefully.
To be humble now?
We're aging gracefully. Well, you know, they say black don't crack. We do crack. I'm playing. We do.
Just takes
but
long.
Y'all look good. Yeah, I just take
so
good. 15 years. Okay. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that part of your story.
Well, one more behind the scenes with Emily, and this part relates to our topic today, is that she has been an encouragement and a mentor to me on my journey when hardly anybody knew what we were going through. There were just a handful of people. We kind of held things really close as we were praying about like what options God would have for us. Yeah. And I consider her a friend, but also kind of a mentor, even though we're the same age, because you're a step ahead of me in life. And when I was praying through, is the Lord going to lead us to adoption or a biological child, and not knowing which way it would go, and just needing to lay everything on the altar, there was this woman who had already done it and was so happy. And you just, like, the joy of the Lord just came through on your face every time you talked about what God did in your life. And that gave me so much confidence to be able to wait on God's timing and to just trust Him. So.
Teach
all that
me,
to be
Emily.
Said,
I want to
welcome.
Get there.
Teach me.
Yeah.
I'd love to. So let's back up and let Emily share a little bit now. Give us the brief, how you met your husband, and then we'll jump into your story.
All right. Well, Austin and I actually met the same time I met Kendra.
Yes.
We were all in the same orientation group at Asbury College, now Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. And I had a crush on him from the first time
did
I saw
really?
Him. I really did.
Wow.
Yes. I don't
you
think
played
he
it
knew.
Cool.
I don't
you
think he
cool.
knew where I was. But yes, and then we started dating our junior year of college.
Wow.
And the rest is history. We got married in 2009, and we've been married for 14 years now.
That's
we just celebrated our 14-year anniversary.
And
happy
your
anniversary.
Story
Thank
is like
you.
A little Hallmark movie. Like, it really is. Like, he did it right. Like,
he
you
did.
Guys walking at Asbury together and getting to know each other. And
okay.
Just absolutely beautiful.
All right.
Okay. Backtracking again.
Yes.
I remember in college you shared a little bit about a childhood illness that you had in a speech.
Mm-hmm.
And that could potentially affect how you would grow your family. So let's talk about that. Expectations going into marriage. Back up. Tell us a little bit of your health history.
Yeah. So when I was a year and a half, around a year and a half, 2 years old, I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Mm. And that's just the first of several autoimmune diseases that I've been diagnosed with over the years. Wow. And so my whole life, I have experienced suffering. I don't know that I've had a day without pain due to the illnesses that I...
Your entire
that I
life.
My
not
entire
one day
life.
That was zero pain.
No, I mean, maybe birth to a year. But of course, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so my entire life, that has been a journey that the Lord has allowed me to take part of, and the journey of suffering and mm-hmm. finding out who He is in that. And mm-hmm. I want to honor my mom and dad mm-hmm. in my testimony, because a lot of what I learned growing up and how to see the Lord through suffering was mm-hmm. because of prompts from them. And so mm-hmm. one of those, my mom would regularly say, Emily, you need to choose joy.
Ooh, come on.
How do you choose joy as a 10-year-old who's in a wheelchair, or as a little girl who's dealing with pain and a crippling illness, and then multiple crippling illnesses by the time that I'm 20 and 25. So on top of that, my parents made it a part of our family mission to talk about God's faithfulness. Mm. And so they would ask throughout the weeks, throughout the months and years, to my sister and I, and they would share as well, how have you seen the Lord faithful in your life mm-hmm. today? You know, they just put us on the spot. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up putting those two things together as I'm struggling with pain, as I'm struggling with doctors and mm-hmm. medications and all of these things, which is very difficult for a young child to carry throughout their life. These two things are constantly put in my heart.
Hmm.
Where do you find your joy and choose that joy?
Hmm.
And where do you see God's faithfulness?
And we could stop right there and let that message preach for the whole show, girl.
I'm over here like, whoa, that's heavy. That's heavy.
Well, and then you put those things together, right? And so as I'm so thankful that the Lord saved me at a very young age, and I don't remember a time without Him. Hmm. And I know that that was His blessing to carry me through some very difficult yeah. times as a young child, and then through my adolescence and adulthood with chronic disease. Mm-hmm. But the Lord tells us time and time again that He is faithful, right? In Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, mm-hmm. the faithful God." That's one of His names. He is the faithful God who keeps mm-hmm. covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him. Then, of course, we see in Psalm time and time mm-hmm. again that the Lord is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
That His love endures forever, that He's faithful through all generations. We see that in Psalms 100 and 119 and on and on and on. And so knowing that the Lord is faithful in times of struggle
yeah.
and difficulty, then I could go, I'm really struggling right now. This is really
yeah.
hard. It's really hard to get up today and to do life today. But I can see where the Lord was faithful yesterday, or I can see how He answered prayer a year ago. And so with that, looking at His faithfulness, then I'm able to choose joy.
Mm-hmm.
And just like
Jesus.
Paul, you know, he says, you know, be content in every circumstance. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
in your suffering, I am joyful to experience mm-hmm. this, because this is what the Lord has called me to do. But we can do that because we see the pillars that the Lord's marked in our life of faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I've grown up with suffering. I've grown up with chronic illness and mm-hmm. very difficult times in that. But focusing on the faithfulness of the Lord and those pillars that He's marked have pulled me through the most difficult mm-hmm. times. And then I can find that joy.
I have a question. First
yes.
of all, before I get to my question, you lied. You are not shy by no means. That was powerful. I'm over here just like, oh my gosh.
Holy Spirit speaking
yes,
through.
Holy Ghost. Okay. So you're saying at a young age you were diagnosed with this, and you say your mom would always say you need to choose joy.
Yeah.
So what was childhood like? Because in my mind, when I think about how to be sustained through the suffering, you've got to have the word of God hidden in your heart.
That's right.
So how did that look like for you in your upbringing?
Yeah. So the word of God was just a part of our lives, right? We went to church. We talked about the Lord. We sat around the table. Everything that we read about in Scripture, where we
yeah.
train up our child in the way that he should go. We talk about the Lord when we get up and when we lie down yeah. and we're sitting at the table. That was the household that I grew
yeah.
up in.
Well,
and
yes.
so in that, I knew who the Lord was.
Mm.
And so I was hiding His word in my heart from a young age. Man, the number of people who were praying for me is incredible. I mean, to this day, I'll find out people who are in different countries who are like, I've been praying for you since you were three or since. Mm-hmm. And so the incredible community of believers who surrounded me because my parents reached out in prayer. The Lord was just so gracious to hold me through all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, as a child, choosing joy is difficult, right? I have children. And a lot of times when you're sick and you don't feel good, you just want to be grumpy about it.
Yeah.
And so there were times that my parents would say, choose joy, and I'd go, I don't want to choose joy right now. Yeah, this doesn't feel good and it's not fair and my friends deal with this. But at the same time, we go back to the Lord's faithfulness and I could not deny what God had done looking back, even in those difficult times of sitting in a hospital bed or getting infusions or having to take medicine that makes me so sick. I'm not a perfect child. I wasn't a perfect child. I'm not a perfect person. I failed miserably. Mm-hmm. I probably made it very difficult on my parents too. Mm-hmm. But throughout all of that, I can see the hand of the Lord.
It's incredible.
Yes. And he was the one who carried me through those difficult times.
Well, I want to go back to that moment in college where you see little Austin Brooks over there and your heart skips a beat, right? And you're praying through what God's plan for a future might look for you. Also, you're picking a college degree and like, what are my future plans? What was it like to make future plans knowing that you have chronic pain that and not knowing what that would look like in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. Again, I have to honor my parents in that. The Lord just gave them so much wisdom in raising a child with chronic illness. And we didn't put all of the emphasis on my diseases and the things that I was dealing with, the limitations. The emphasis was put on who did the Lord create you to be and what is the purpose that he has for you? Because he did create you before the world was formed. He knew you and he created you with a purpose, knowing that you were going to have these limitations and these difficulties in life. And so they just encouraged me, don't settle for mediocrity. Choose that joy. Go and pursue what the Lord's laid on your heart. And so, my goodness, from the time that I was, I can remember, I always wanted to be a wife and a mother. And so that was number one. I wanted to be a wife and a mother. But of course, you know, what do mommy and daddy say? Well, you got to do something because what if that doesn't happen? You know, like you need a job. So I did always have a heart for education and teaching and chose to go into college to pursue elementary education. And I figured that would be, I was either nursing or education. They'd both be great careers to go into wife and mommy, which is my ultimate goal. So I wanted to do that. So I chose Asbury College for their education program and I needed a respite. I grew up in South Florida and dealt with persecution even as a young teenager. And so I just was begging the Lord just for just a season of rest in him with like-minded believers. And so,
Along with the question that Kendra asked you, did you think that you would ever get married? Like, would someone want to marry you with this disease?
I never had that thought. I was actually thinking, it's funny you asked that. I was thinking about that this morning that y'all may ask that. I didn't have that thought until probably college. I didn't date in high school. I just was friends with everyone. And so I never processed that. And then when we were in college and I was starting to process relationships and what that could look like. Yes, those thoughts came to mind, but not, they didn't stay there. Yeah. And so when Austin and I started to talk, I was very upfront with him very quickly. We became serious pretty quickly. I mean, I knew that he was the man that I had been praying for within a month, probably. And so I wasn't looking anywhere else when I found him.
Was he your first boyfriend?
He was my first boyfriend. Wow. Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry. I love hearing stories.
I think it's a Hallmark story.
And so, yes, when I knew that this could probably be the guy, then I needed to have this conversation with him. And so we talked about everything. So we would go from like, what's your favorite vegetable to, hey, by the way, I have some chronic illnesses I need to tell you about. And so I had that conversation with him.
And he stayed in the picture.
Fully prepared for him to choose to leave. And so I laid it all out on the table. I look healthy now, but who knows what's going to happen tomorrow or in a month. I never know when I'm going to flare. And he was like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, I also knew that most likely I would not be able to have biological children. It mm-hmm. was still up in the air whether or not mm-hmm. that was going to happen. But I shared that with him too. Like, there's mm-hmm. a possibility that I might not be able to mm-hmm. have children biologically. Okay. How do you feel about that? That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. He didn't think this over?
I'm sure he did.
I'm thankful that he answered, but I'm like, he's that quick?
But I didn't drop it
those
either.
Those are huge, heavy questions.
I didn't drop it either. I probably brought it up half a dozen times, if not more. Yeah, like, are
to
you
make sure?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. And then talk about the faithfulness of the mm-hmm. Lord. What should happen while we're dating? But I go into one of the worst flares of my young adulthood life.
Oh, wow.
Where I could not even hold a pencil. I had to wrap a sock around a pencil in order to take notes in college. My elbows did not extend.
Oh, my word.
I had to have friends help me. I probably should have used a wheelchair, but I was too prideful to do that. I had friends walking me to class. I had to have help getting dressed. Now, my family lived 19 hours away, so it was me dealing with a debilitating flare at college with just the help of friends.
Wow.
But I was dating Austin at the time. Mm-hmm. So I had shared these things, and now he's seeing them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is my reality. Mm-hmm. I don't know when these seasons hit, but they do. Mm-hmm. Are you still okay with this? And I mm-hmm. gave him the pass multiple times. You don't have to stay in this. Like, mm-hmm. you can go find someone who's healthy and normal and can give you beautiful children mm-hmm. and you don't have to deal with insurance mm-hmm. issues and medical things. And he never left. He was always so supportive.
I love that. Okay, can I just say, because I don't want anybody to think, does Jade say that he should have left? That's not how I'm feeling. No. I have a bowel disease. And so I remember being in the hospital, sick as a dog, lost 40 pounds in 1 month. And I said, who will want to marry me? Yeah. And so because it is like you marry all of a person, mm-hmm. their past, their illnesses mm-hmm. and everything. And so praise the Lord.
What a beautiful thing that he got to witness a flare up. And you got to see he loves me and chooses me even before it happened to give you confidence in marriage.
That's right.
You know, that's when you know, he's not going anywhere. He loves me. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so let's fast forward. Beautiful marriage.
So
you guys are now.
I know.
You don't even know. This
I'm
is the tip of the iceberg.
I'm like, this is Walmart.
The tip. Yes. So you're married and the topic of kids eventually comes up. How long did it take before you guys kind of came around to that thought?
Right. So we were married for about 2 years when we were not ready to have children, mm-hmm. but we started to have the conversation more and more. Mm-hmm. When you have an autoimmune disease, chronic illnesses, you plan a lot. You have to plan for a lot of things. And so, mm-hmm. About 2 years in, we started having the conversation. What does this look like? At this time, we still didn't know. So if we were going to be able to have mm-hmm. biological children or not. And so we were hopeful. Mm-hmm. And in the back of our minds, we're like, it's all going to work. Mm-hmm. The Lord's going to take care of it, and we're going to have biological children. Mm-hmm. And so about that time, we decided to have conversations with my specialists. Mm-hmm. Not that we were ready to start, but like we needed to have an answer so we could prepare.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we spoke with all of my specialists, and it was a resounding no.
That it would be
this
unhealthy
would be
for
unhealthy
you.
Unhealthy for me. In order to have biological children, I would have had to come off all of my medications.
Ooh,
how many were you on?
6 months. I don't remember. I mean, I'm on a lot for a lot of different things, but I would have had to detox from all of those medications, which would have sent me in a flare, which would have more than likely meant that I would not be able to conceive because my body would have been stressed.
Wow.
And then if I did, that's, 6 months of detox plus however long to conceive plus pregnancy. Would my body ever come back to this state, or would I be a completely debilitated mom? Mm. So all of these hard conversations. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of things, if I had gotten pregnant on the medications that I was on, it would be detrimental to the child. So very
all the medication
powerful,
you were taking and the baby.
Yes. And yes. Wow. And so it could have been very harmful to the child. And so we had to, at 2 years into our marriage, mm-hmm. had to have some very difficult conversations. And and we chose to abide by what the doctors mm-hmm. had told us and say, you know what, it's probably in our best interest to lay down mm-hmm. the desires of our hearts to have biological children mm-hmm. and to see what the Lord has in store next.
Did you, but you made a statement. So when y'all were dating, you told him, hey, I may not be able to have children. So was there a time before meeting Austin, like in your childhood, where you settled in your heart that that was possibly
a
no?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Again, honor to my parents. They knew. They didn't make it known mm-hmm. or make that a big deal, but in my teenage years, mm-hmm. young adulthood, before we got married, my mom would say things like, I'm just so excited to see how the Lord builds your family and how mm. colorful it is. Like she would use words mm. that weren't
preparing your heart
that
for
would prepare
options.
My heart for different options. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see how your family looks and how colorful it'll
that
be.
Makes me.
And
girl, Mark prepared us today. We have the Kleenexes. Thank you, Mark.
And so, so yes. And I knew, I mean, when you have all of these, I mean, at this time, we've been married for 2 years, so I'm 22, 20, I don't remember how old I was. I have 5 autoimmune diseases.
Wow.
I mean, so it wasn't,
Emily.
You're
over here smiling with 5 autoimmune diseases.
What was going on in your heart?
Like your conversations with God.
Yes,
what did they sound like during that?
Okay. So
keep it 100 with us.
I will. I actually have my journal from this time.
Oh my goodness.
So when we made the decision after the doctors had the reality check mm-hmm. with us on what it would look like to have biological children, and we decided that that was not going to be in our story, I mm-hmm. mourned, mm-hmm. of course. I'm human.
Yes.
You are human.
Yes. Yeah. And so I took time off work, mm-hmm. and I cried, mm-hmm. and I reached out to the Lord. I had my Bible open. I was like, Lord, I don't know anything about adoption. Mm. And so I went through, and this is my journal where I just went through all the mm-hmm. verses on adoption. Mm-hmm. Of course, most of them focus on our adoptions as mm-hmm. as sons and daughters of the Lord and co-heirs mm-hmm. with Christ.
Yes, Lord.
But then I looked at what that would mm-hmm. look like in our family mm-hmm. if we were to adopt. And in Greek, adoption means son placement.
Mm.
And so...
Break that down, Emily.
It's right here. And so I started to formulate my prayers as I was asking the Lord to teach me, one, more about my adoption as his daughter, but two, what it would look like for us to... for him to place mm-hmm. a child in our lives. And then he brought me to Psalm 139, mm-hmm. 13 through 16. And for time, I won't read it. But in verse 16, mm-hmm. it says, all the days ordained for me mm-hmm. were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Jesus.
Which means, mm-hmm. of course, that before God created the world, he had ordained for us to be born, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But y'all know my story. He ordained for our children to be brought to us through adoption. So they were created in their birth mm-hmm. mother's womb for us. Mm-hmm. And that was ordained before the creation of the world, as Psalm 139 says.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so as the Lord took me through this, I mourned it. And I mourned, one thing I did mourn as time comes to close is the sentimental value of having your own children.
Sure.
So in my writing, I asked the Lord to reveal to me how to love, how to agape love, which is a choice mm-hmm. love,
mm-hmm. yes.
but then make it abiding love to where I'm no longer choosing to love the children that you place in my heart and in our home, mm-hmm. but that we will forever love them as the child that you've placed, that you yes. ordained before the creation of the world, and that they will be forever ours, mm-hmm. and it was never meant to look any different.
Mm-hmm.
And so... and we'll go into this later,
yes.
but
are you
those
referring to
those
like the emotional part,
so the emotional part, or that? Having children who look like you or act
they
like
you,
they
do favor y'all.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying.
When
this
I first
isn't,
met your daughter, I thought,
but
and, yeah,
that's what most people do. This
shocked
is 2012
me.
That I'm writing this prayer, like yeah. Lord, help me to understand and help me to surrender my mm-hmm. desires to have these sentimental.
That part right there. How do you, man? Time's about to run out. How do you surrender them, especially when you, because you said you always wanted to be a wife and a mom. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
like, how do you surrender those when you felt like that was what you were called to do? So it was
hard.
A process.
It was a
your
process.
Two lessons of choose joy.
That's right. I was just about to come back to that. Choose joy and see God's faithfulness. The mm-hmm. Lord had been faithful, and mm-hmm. he provided me a husband. He mm-hmm. gave me the man of my dreams who I had been praying for years and years mm-hmm. and years. And I could look back on those prayers and mm-hmm. see, yep, that's Austin. Yes, that's Austin. Yes, that's Austin. I've seen before this, I had seen his healing hand in my life in mm-hmm. one certain area. I'd mm-hmm. seen his healing. I've seen his faithfulness to mm-hmm. to bring me through difficult times.
Yes.
I knew he was going to do it again.
Okay, quick spoiler alert, but there are two miracles in your life that have happened. We're going to have another show to have you come on and specifically talk about the details of the way God works. Yes. But I just want to give that spoiler alert for those that are listening, because if you think, if God's shifting the calling of your life to be adoption, if you think by any means that it won't be as fulfilling, or yes, there's mourning, season yes. mourning, but if you think that God can't bring overabundant joy into your life, you need to listen to part two of this story, yes. because anyone who knows this family has seen the love of God just radiate out of them, and they are yes. the coolest family ever.
And their babies are gorgeous.
Yes.
I so thought they were yours. And they are, you know what I mean? Like, yes. they look so much like y'all.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to yes. this. This is ministering to me mm-hmm. because I'm still in that process mm-hmm. of surrendering, and I'm sure other listeners are tuning in and they're feeling the same way. So definitely tune in to part two.
Yes, thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.